The outer tunic, a robe. In Bible times, when you saw people walking down the street, you attributed honor, prestige, recognition, praise, glory, if you will, to the kind of clothes they wore. And everybody had an undergarment which was underneath all this, kind of like an Indian breech cloth. Then they had a garment that went over that. You kind of see an undershirt underneath here. And then they had a robe. Sometimes they called it a robe. Sometimes they called it a coat. Sometimes they called it a cloak. But if you had a robe, you were considered to be in the elite, the upper class. And so I talked about this. And, you know, everybody complimented me on my suit this morning. And, you know, we all want to look nice. And we all dress up, especially women. They like to look nice. So it matters a great deal to us what kind of appearance we put forth to the people around us. Now, we may say, oh, I don't care, but that's not true. We do. And so to some extent, differing degrees, we all care how we appear to people around us, and nobody wants to look like a squirrel. So it matters here how you dress and what you wear. When Jesus taught, Jesus would take what we've got now, what's important to us now, what we consider to be important. He would take the earthly things that we look at as being important, and he would transfer them into heaven to show us the same values there and how it would be important to us, how we appeared to others there. And so before I left, I went through every one of these scriptures. I'm not going to do the same thing again. The outer robe. It showed people what you were, a mark of identification. If you were a prophet in 2 Samuel 28:14, you see they wore a mantle. That signified they held a position of honor. A nobleman, he also wore a mantle. This was a mantle or cloak or coat, a robe. That's in Job 1:20. A child minister. When Samuel was a little child and was actually participating in the sacrifices along with Eli, his mother had brought him a little coat, 1 Samuel 2:18 and 19, which he wore when he performed the sacrifices or helped Eli to do it. There was a virgin daughters of kings in 2 Samuel 13 and 18. They had such robes. They were virgin daughters, and the robes identified them as being virgins. The kings of Israel and Judah in 1 Kings 22:10 put on their robes. So the kings wore them. The high priest in Exodus 28:21 had a robe. King David and the Levites in 1 Chronicles 15:27. David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, white, fine linen. The Levites bore the ark. They wore a robe of fine linen, and the singers also. Then in Isaiah 61:10, we see a delineation between the undergarment and the robe. In Isaiah 61:10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in the Lord, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. Now, when you receive Christ, you are clothed with the garments of salvation. That's your garment. But notice it says, he hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh herself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. The robe of righteousness was the outer garment. It was what you saw on the outside. It was the thing that the world viewed. You couldn't see a lot of the undergarments because the outer garment covered them. You can't see what's inside a man, but you can see what is performing inside a man or a woman by the actions that they perform in life before an unbelieving world. And really, this robe of righteousness, I believe, pictures the righteousness of Christ which is in you being manifested on the outside. In heaven, all would be clothed with garments of salvation. There won't be anyone there that doesn't have a garment of salvation. But I believe that only those who were faithful will be covered with the robes of righteousness. I think there are distinctions here on earth. When people look at you, they can tell certain things about you. I think in heaven, that's going to be the same. And the thing about heaven that's important is this. This is just a vapor here that passes away. It comes, it goes. But heaven is eternal. And what you wear there will last forever. Then I talked about the outer garments and robes before I left for Africa. Badges of office. I showed the office of a king. Genesis 41, 41, and 42, we find that when Joseph was made second in command of the Pharaoh of Egypt, he arrayed him in vestures of fine linen. This is white linen. In 1 Chronicles 15, 27, and David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, and all the Levites that bear the ark and the singers, and the Chekinah, the master of the song with the singers. The office of a priest. In Exodus 39, 27, 28. And they made coats of fine linen of woven work for Aaron and for his son, and a mitre, headpiece of fine linen, goodly bonnets of fine linen, linen breeches of fine twined lane. These were all white, beautiful, brilliant white. Verse 4 in Leviticus 16, 4. You have, he shall put on the holy linen coat, the linen breeches, a linen girdle, the linen mitre. These are holy garments. When the priest put those on, they identified him as being a priest. When the king put his garments on, they identified him as being a king. Now, it took me a long time to come to these conclusions, but I believe them nevertheless. It's not something I was taught in a seminary. It's not something I was taught out of a book. It's something I was taught out of the Bible, and it's something I believe. The New Testament offices of kings and priests, Revelation 1, 9, then backing up to 5 and 6. From a book which states 10 times from the first to the last chapter, it was written to churches. This book was written to churches. Revelation 1 and 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. This book written to church members. Now, I know this is contrary to what's taught in the Protestant world. I know it's generally looked upon with great disfavor among some of my brethren. But I don't care. That book's written to churches. And I'm constantly hearing, we shall reign with him as kings and priests. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I think that applies to faithful people. I think that applies to people reigning and ruling with him. We're not talking about who goes to heaven here. We're talking about those that are going to reign with him, to rule with him, be given positions of importance and authority, be given rewards. People that are going to be chosen by God based upon their service here after they were saved. And I've got a problem with this business of everybody being a king and everybody being a priest. Because as a pastor of one of God's churches, I know a lot of people that are saved that have just barely given Jesus the time of day for 50 or 60 years. And I hardly think they're going to rule and reign with him. I don't question they're going to heaven. I don't question they're going to have a garment of salvation. I don't question they're going to have a glorified body. And I don't question they're going to be happy. But I do believe that rewards involve these robes and the apparel that you'll be wearing as an outer garment in heaven. Because he says, your brother and companion in tribulation in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. Those are the ones who are going to rule and reign. Those who endure the tribulation. Those who are companions with John in the tribulation period. Those who realize the kingdom of God is important. Those who endure patience of Jesus Christ. People may know endurance of Jesus Christ. Look back up at 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, and to him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, hath made us your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. He's writing it to churches. Hath made us. Those who were companions in tribulation in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Most assuredly, all the saved were loved, washed from their sins in his blood, and all are indwelt by his Spirit, and all go to heaven. This book is written to churches. And I don't think someone that was successful in fighting off the Spirit of Christ internally and living their own life for themselves is going to be rewarded with the same blessings and the same appearance and the same robes in heaven as those who were faithful and endured the tribulation and trial that goes with being faithful. Now, this is the Bible Exposition Commentary by Warren Wiersbe. The wedding garment was provided by the host so that everyone was properly attired for the occasion and the poor would not feel conspicuous. Unger's Bible Dictionary. The wedding guests were provided with fitting robes by the host. It was a mark of right that you see of this wedding feast. You see the bride, the wife, sitting by the husband, the bridegroom. And I want you to notice that they are all wearing robes of some type or characteristic. I believe when the marriage supper of the Lamb has come, they're all going to be wearing robes. And I believe that the robes are a distinctive mark that they will have forever that will identify them as those who are faithful. The heavenly badges of kings and priests. Let's take a look at Revelation 6 and 11. The heavenly office, badges, kings, and priests. Revelation 6, 11. And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Here in the middle of the tribulation period, on the opening of the fifth seal, we find a group of people in heaven who are martyrs. They have been killed as they were. They have been martyred for their testimony for Jesus Christ. If you look at the verses above it and after it, you'll discover that to be true. And they are told to rest for a little season. They're urging the Lord, Lord, how long do we have to wait before we can go back? Lord, how long? And finally, it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. That's the latter portion of the tribulation period. After the sixth seal. I mean starting with the sixth seal. This is the fifth seal. And white robes were given to every one of them. White robes were given to this group of people. Now, how much more faithful can you be than to give your life for the cause of Christ and to be killed for a witness of Jesus? These were faithful people. These are people who are going to rule and reign with Christ. These are those who are going to be kings and priests with Christ. These are those who, when you see them in heaven and see their apparel and their outer appearance, there's going to leave no doubt in their mind that these were people that were faithful to Christ. And I said unto him, Sir, we're now looking at a different chapter, Revelation 7, 14 and 15. There are people who say this represents the saved of all the ages. Well, certainly they're saved people. And it's a great multitude, I grant you. But there are a lot of God's children who successfully avoid the persecution, the prosecution, what comes with being a child of God. And they that live godly shall suffer persecution. Paul said so. People that try to live godly lives, people who try to manifest the righteousness of Christ in their everyday living, I guarantee you, sooner or later, they are going to be persecuted for it. And these are people that were persecuted for it. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. Revelation 7, 14 and 15. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation. Remember what John said earlier as he started this particular book and was talking to his companions in tribulation? He said, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation in the kingdom and patience and endurance of Jesus Christ. He's talking to people that endured. He's talking to people that went the distance. He's talking about people that were willing to give their life. And some did. Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation. It actually says the great tribulation. These may be, at least partially, some of those that did suffer death after the sixth seal. And these may be referring to some of them. And have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. I don't think this is talking about an internal cleansing. I think this is talking about an external cleansing. I think that the internal cleansing that you experience at the moment of salvation, called the new birth, is when Jesus cleanses your soul, cleanses, gives you a new spirit, cleanses you internally, and comes to live in that place eternally that he's cleansed. I think that's an internal cleansing by the blood of Christ. I think that's an internal washing by the blood of Christ. I think that's what you call the new birth. I think that's what you call Jesus being implanted in you. I think it's when Jesus comes in you and imputes to you his righteousness. I think this is an outer cleansing. I think this is applying that same blood and your same faith in that blood to allow Christ in you to grow as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming, to keep on coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. I think that's washing the outer garment. I think that's cleaning up the act that your soul actually portrays before the world. I think that's an application of the blood to your life. I believe the blood is applied to your soul and saves it. But I believe that same precious blood also, by your faith in it and your confidence in the one who gave it, makes you grow spiritually as you yield to him, and you clean up your outer garment. You're cleansed innerly, eternally. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I think this is an outer cleansing. And I think it comes through great tribulation and through endurance and through a heart that has been saved and cleansed by the blood of Christ, who's anxious for the one who cleansed him to be seen on the outside and responds to Christ and tries to live a righteous life, a goodly life, a godly life before God. And you're going to be persecuted. If you live for Christ, if you live a godly life, you will suffer persecution. I said earlier, Paul said that, but Peter actually said it. Therefore, are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. These people are people that endured. They're people who stood the test. They're people whose faith was tried. They're people who, through their lives and people seeing that what they believed was genuine, were willing to suffer death for Christ, they kept on trying. And people saw on the outside that there was a power inside them that was leading them to be faithful in other times when people would have fallen away. They continued to be faithful. This is an outer garment. This is a robe. And I want you to notice where these people are. Verse 15. We're in Revelation 7:15. Therefore, as a conclusion, because they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, therefore are they, those who cleaned up their outer garment by the same blood that cleansed them internally when they were saved, therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Folks, this is a close group cluttered around the throne. A whole lot of people join missionary Baptist churches, and a whole lot of people quit. A whole lot of people don't go the distance. A whole lot of people don't have patience. They don't have endurance. They never allow their faith to grow. They never allow Christ to clean up their outer garment. They never apply the blood to the outer garment, their own life, that Jesus applied to their soul when he saved them. Salvation is instantaneous. The soul is sealed instantaneously. You're going to heaven when you're saved internally, the moment you receive Christ. But there is a life to be lived for Christ, and there is a price to be paid in living that life. And the question is that price worth it all for what Jesus has waiting on you on the other side? Is wearing a robe in heaven and eternally being distinctively different in heaven? Is being where Jesus is and being seen by all the others in heaven as someone who, no matter what happened in life, you continue to be faithful to the Lord. Is it worth it? I mean, is it worth what you have to go through down here to get it? Brothers and sisters in Christ, I tell you, as a man called of God and a man who understands the Scriptures and a man who is indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, I guarantee you it's more than worth it all. Notice in Revelation 24, who are these people? These are people that are going to be killed as they were. It's not only some of them that were killed in this group back in Revelation 6:11, but it's some that are killed after them. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. Revelation 24. And judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. I'm sorry, I make no apologies for what I'm going to say. But you mean to tell me some old boy that gets saved, trots down an aisle, makes a general profession of faith, everybody's gloriously excited about it, he may even submit to baptism. You've heard me mention that type so many times, and there are many of them. And then afterward, for the rest of their life, they spitter and sputter. They're in and out of church. Most of the time, they're not faithful. Their life shows an outward lackadaisical service towards God. You mean to tell me that God's going to allow somebody to reign with him for 1,000 years in heaven when you had these people that were willing to give their life? You mean to tell me there aren't any class distinctions in heaven? You better believe there are class distinctions in heaven, and you better believe they are eternal, and you better believe they're worth dying for, because they last forever.
And there is one thing in the church that we want. We want faithfulness. We want people who love one another. We want people who are committed to the cause of Christ and people who realize the importance of eternal things and spiritual things and recognize that the things of this world cannot be compared with the glory that is going to be revealed in us if we are faithful to Christ. Revelation 19:7-9. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. How'd she make herself ready? Well, she made herself ready by washing her robe and making them white in the blood of the Lamb. That's the way you make yourself ready for the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to the judgment seat of Christ because Christ's blood cleansed your inner nature, because he cleansed your soul, because he saved you and made you whole eternally. That's why you're going to the judgment seat of Christ. But the way you make yourself ready for what happens when you get there is to apply that same blood and your gratitude and thanksgiving to God for it, to let his son clean up from the inside what's on the outside, so that people see someone that's faithful to the Lord. People don't put much stock in just being in church. They want to climb Mount Everest. And those people usually end up out of church, and they never do finish climbing Mount Everest. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there is no substitution for a genuine, normal, common, everyday, enduring faith manifested by constant service, constant appearance, constant attendance, consistent life serving God in his church. She made herself ready. She applied the blood that saved her soul. Her gratitude for it made her want to serve God in the place that God directed. She was anxious to find where her master wanted her to be, where her husband wanted her to be. And she made sure that she was there in submission to him in the place that he designated, awaiting his coming when she would be united with him. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. Isn't that interesting? Fine linen. Clean linen, fine and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Isn't that interesting? They which have come out of great tribulation, she's endured for Christ. She's gone through tribulation. She's gone through trial. She hasn't stopped. And she's made her outer garment white in the blood of the Lamb by applying the blood. Don't think that for one moment I'm giving her credit. It was the Spirit of Christ in her that did the work. It was the blood of Christ in her that caused her outer garment to be changed. It was all by the power of God in Christ Jesus. What she did was merely submit herself and her will to that Spirit of Christ that indwelled her and try to follow his leadership through the word that he left down here that she could follow. Remember all those garments of kings? Remember what the Bible says they were like? And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean linen, fine and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Those are the garments of priests. Those are the garments of kings and rulers. She's going to rule and reign with him. She represents the faithful. We don't live in the age of Abraham. We don't live in the age of Enoch. We don't live in the age of Moses. They're all gone. They're dead. We live in the church age. If you're going to be in the bride of Christ, you're going to have to do it God's way. Don't worry about all those other people and where they'll live and where they'll be. God will take care of that. He's more than able to do it. Be concerned about where you're going to live. Be concerned about where your wife, where your husband's going to live. Be concerned about where your children are going to live. And by your example and by your life and by your consistency in your life and your adherence to God's word, make it plain where you want to live and make it plain that heaven does make a difference and you do care what you look like when you get there forever. There's no better teacher than an example. And if people see your life and your commitment to the cause of Christ and your belief in the exceeding great and precious future promises, it can have an impact on other people's lives and will in the long run. And he saith unto me, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Happy, Makarios, ecstatically happy. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Well, in 21:23-26, we find some interesting information. The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon that shineth, for the glory of God did lighten. The lamb is the light thereof. I'm not a new lighter. I don't believe the people outside the city are going to live in a dark, dreary place with no happiness, no sunshine. They're going to be as happy. They won't be as happy as the people living in that city. And they won't be as happy as those who were faithful in God's life. And just like there are going to be different degrees of punishment in hell, there are going to be different degrees of happiness in heaven. And the nations of them which are saved, there's going to be a lot of saved people. A lot of saved people who would not make themselves ready for the judgment seat of Christ. A lot of saved people who knew Christ as Savior, but never would let Christ apply the same blood that cleansed their soul to cleaning up their outer garment in their life. Never would live righteously for Christ. Never would get serious about serving God in the place that He directed. Don't you be one of them. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. The light of God in that city is more than sufficient to give them ample light and great joy and happiness outside the city. But the question is, where do you want to live? And where do you want your wife to live and your husband and your children? And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Wish I had time to talk about the kings of the earth, but I really don't. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, and there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Sounds like free access back and forth to the city, so why bother to serve Christ if you can go in and out? It doesn't matter how you live here. Look back in chapter 21 at verse 12. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels. The kings and priests were not only saved by the blood, they washed their garments in it. What do you think these angels are there for? I hardly think they're there for decoration. I hardly think the same angel is going to be standing there for all eternity. I imagine they would rotate in shifts, although the Bible doesn't say one way or the other. But angels have to have a purpose. Angels were created by God. They get great joy and satisfaction out of doing assignments, performing functions that God assigns them. There's some kind of a function they're performing there at the gate. What kind of a function does a man perform at a gate? He guards it. Guards it against what? Against who goes in and out. I tell you, heaven is going to have a lot of class distinctions. And it's nobody's fault but their own if they don't make an effort to understand that heaven is not a communist estate, but a place where your service here after you were saved makes a great deal of difference. The outer garment that a child of God puts on here will be proportional to the one he or she is given to wear in heaven as a reward for all eternity. As newborn babes in Christ, we forge the type of future robe we will wear in heaven by the lifestyle the world sees in our outer garment here. The outer garment worn on our glorified bodies will forever identify the type of life we lived in our lifetime on this present planet. In the Hebrew culture, there was an inner garment, which men of today would call underwear, and a garment which, in my case, I would identify as a jumpsuit. And finally, there was the occasional wearing of an outer garment, a robe, with or without sleeves. At a wedding ceremony, it was customary for the host to provide the outer garment. Those who go to the marriage supper of the Lamb are going to have an outer garment. It's going to be given to them by the same host who lived in them and who tried to work in them. And he's going to know how much of his spirit and how much of his life they applied to their own life and how much they grew spiritually and how much they responded to him. And not everybody is going to get a robe in heaven. Those who get them will be ecstatically happy forever, and it will clearly mark them as those who were faithful to God. Revelation 6:11. And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed if they were should be fulfilled. These folks are going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I guarantee it. Those robes are what God gives to those who were faithful. I want you to notice the church age. Revelation 3:4-5. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis, the church at Sardis. Notice there weren't very many names. I think the number of names in our churches today are even fewer in our local visible assemblies. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments. They wouldn't wash them in the blood of the Lamb. They lived their own lives. You never got to see Christ coming out of their hearts and out of their lives. They criticized the church. They found all sorts of excuses to give because they weren't there, usually blaming the pastor or the types of programs or services they had. They had a million and one reasons that they felt quite justified, which in their own heart they knew were a lie. They really just didn't want to serve God. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white. Why? For they are worthy. They're going to have the robe. They're the ones who forever are going to be identified by the appearance of the eyes of the rest of heaven as those who were faithful. They're overcoming. He that overcometh, the saints will be clothed in white raiment. Revelation 3, 4, and 5. I'm telling you, it makes a great difference. I didn't realize this when I was a young man. I wish I had. I regret that I was so slouchful and lazy in my Bible study. These things never meant much to me. But I thank God in my old age I've come to understand that they are things that are extremely important. And I thank God he at least gave me the opportunity before I died to tell some other people about it. It's not all that complicated. It's really not difficult at all. God's not asking you to climb Mount Everest. We are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Everyone gets saved the same way. They become a child of God the same way. They put their faith in Jesus Christ to save them from eternal damnation and hell. I got saved 53 years ago when I realized I was lost, helpless, could not save myself, and in desperation came to Christ and asked him to save me from what I was, a helpless, lost sinner. He saved me. Well, he was in me, been in me for 53 years. Never left for one moment, never will. But could you see Christ on the outside in my early life? No. And I'm very ashamed of that, and I wish I could go back sometimes and relive it. But Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So I have to continually remind myself, Tom, just be concerned about today and what's going to happen today. Don't go back and cry over spilt milk. What does it mean to clean up your outer garment? For as many of you, not all of them, hey, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's some who believe that's a spiritual baptism. One time when I was younger, they actually influenced me to believe that. I don't believe that anymore. I was wrong. I made the wrong interpretation. It was wrong. That's talking about water baptism. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. When a man is born again spiritually, you can't see what happens inside him. It's a new birth. You can't tell when the Spirit came. You can't tell when he left. You didn't get to see any of it. It just happened. But there are some things you can see. After that man is saved, I guarantee you the Spirit starts working on that man or woman to be baptized. So how do you put on Christ? This is talking about visibly. He's already inside. He's already your Savior. You're already eternally saved and sealed. You're already a child of God. You're already a son of God. You're already a daughter of God. But when you visibly walk down these steps and you go into this water, it doesn't save you. But it shows that you are submitting to the will of your Savior, who you believe has already saved you. And you're going to picture to a lost and dying world what you believe saved you before you entered the water. The life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And it's your commitment. I'm going to unite with a local visible body by their scriptural baptism, and they're going to fellowship me, and I'm going to become a part of that fellowship, and I'm going to be a faithful member of that church. Brothers and sisters in Christ, those people have put on Christ. You can see him on the outside. The results of what he did inside led them to baptism. And as they continue in the fellowship and in love and in growing and hope and faith and love, then you can see more and more of Christ. They put him on the outside. They wash their garments in the blood on the outside that it's already cleansed them inside. Revelation 10, 17, and 13. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I heard the word of God. I heard what I was, a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I heard who he was. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I heard how faith was exercised. It was what I was hearing preached and from the Word of God. And then I called upon the name of the Lord. His name is Jesus Christ. And there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. And I know he saved me. 53 years ago, he came to live in me by faith. I became a child of God. I became a son of God. For 53 years, I've had the opportunity to put on more and more of the personality of Christ outside. That's what living a righteous life is. That's what's demonstrating to the world what's going on inside you. You become a child of God when you gladly receive his word. You put on Christ when you are identified as his follower by submission to baptism. Baptism is an identification that you have that you are a follower of Christ. You forge your future outer robe as you manifest his life outwardly in love by fellowshipping faithfully in his local church. There's lots of things we can't do. God's going to judge us for the things we could do. as a child of God, after you receive his word, you could be baptized. Those who weren't baptized are going to have a lot of explaining to do, but it'll only take a split second. And they'll already realize they're wrong when they're standing before the judgment seat of Christ. It'll just take the twinkling of an eye, and they have no question in their own mind that they should have been at that time. And the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They became members of that church in Jerusalem, and they continued steadfastly. That means no matter what happened, no matter what trouble came in the church, no matter what personal adversity they had in life, no matter whether their wife died or their husband died or their children died, they never blamed God. They just kept on continuing steadfastly in the apostles' teaching. The apostles' teaching is what that New Testament is, because the apostles' teaching is what Jesus taught them. And fellowship, and love, compassion, forgiveness, understanding, breaking of bread, the taking of the Lord's Supper, and in prayer. This is what it means to wash your outer garments in the blood of the Lamb. It's applying the blood that's inside to the outside and letting people see that you care enough to worship in the right place. You know, I'm really thankful that God didn't expect us to climb Mount Everest. I'm really thankful for that. I'm really thankful that God didn't expect me to be a dynamic Dan and win the whole world all by myself. I thank God that what he expected me to do after I was saved, to submit to baptism, to picture his death, burial, and resurrection to the world. And I'm thankful that what God requires of me is to stay in his church, be in his church, worship faithfully in his church, and to be the function in this church that God has directed me to do. God calls me to pastor. That's what I do. But God has called us all to work in the church in different capacities. I thank God it's not climbing Mount Everest. I thank God I'm not held accountable for things I can't do. I can be faithful in God's church. I can study God's word. I can be here when I'm supposed to do. I can pray for the fellow members. I can be forgiving. These are things that even as a sinner in the flesh I can do. And these are things that you can do. Sometimes people in the church say, well, we need to do more. We need to get this. We need to get that. We need to get this program. We need to get what we need to do is grow spiritually. And as we grow spiritually, God will take care of who needs to be added, when they need to be added, and how they need to be added. And that's the way it's always been. But we've changed that. We've made it into a sideshow. God knows what he's doing. We just do what God says, and God will take care of the rest. As the lights are turned on, as Johnny and Casey